Senate will come to order. Will the senators indicate their presence by voting?
The roll shows 19 senators present today. Senator Ray is excused from the call of the Senate.
Reverend Lauren Jones of the chapel by the Lake Church will give the invocation.
Our Father God, we want to give you honor for the gifts of life that you have given to all of us. We thank you for the beauty of the world in which we work and live and play. We thank you for the talents and gifts given to people that can be used both for oneself and also for the good of others around us. We just pray that we shall do the best we can with gifts and the opportunities that we have and live life to the fullest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Senator Eliza.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, please certify the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 45th legislative day.
Senator Halpin.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the journal for the 45th legislative day be approved and certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection. For the guest for introduction, Senator John Sackett.
It gives me great pleasure today to introduce an old friend of mine and one of the original people that was working on land claims who decided to leave and move back to the village of Cantwell and raise a family. And with her down here today, my good friend Ruby John and her two sons, Alec Tanzi and Jay Tanzi, and also another friend of mine, Sophie Ted.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me, we have some visitors from Metlakatla, which is located on Annette Island, which is right across from Senator Ziegler's home in Ketchikan. They're up here visiting legislature, and if you'd welcome Paul Brindable, the acting mayor, Carl Cook, and Vic Wellington on the console, and the planning director, Saul Atkinson, from Metlakatla. And Mr. President, as long as I have the floor, each of you will notice a can of custom-packed fish on your desk. This was packed at the Net Island Packing Company at Metlakatla. And if you're interested, drop by later. We have lots of it to sell.
Senator Paul Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the gallery behind us, we have three builders from the Kenai Peninsula. I think my voice will hold out. It's Mitch Robinson, Jess Hall, and Mark Passy.
Senator Frank Ferguson.
Mr. President, I have some guests here from Kotzebue, the students of Kotzebue High School. They're Karen Gillihorn, Kathleen Jaycox, Tommy Mills, Vincent Unalek. And with them are the chaperones, Bobby Schaefer, the chairperson of Northwest Arctic, Helena Jones from Ambler, board member.
Senator Arnold Strzelczewski.
Mr. President, I'm happy to introduce a constituent of Senator Fakes and mine, Richard Enberg, who's a senior vice president with First National Bank of Alaska.
Senator Pat Rody.
Mr. President, a former constituent of mine and now a constituent of Senator Catulus and Senator DeVries, head of the home builders, Mr. Howard Morgan.
We also have with us today the gallery, Don Weldon, down from Fairbanks. Are there messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
Message of February 26th. The House passed the following and returned. Senate Joint Resolution Number 29. Maintenance of essential air service to Cordova, Yakutat, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Gustavus, Alaska, and Senate Joint Resolution Number 30, passenger service by Korean Airlines in Anchorage. These have been sent to enrolling. The House passed the following and transmitted for our consideration. House Concurrent Resolution Number 55 by Representatives Cato, Grusendorf, Taylor, Cotton, Navarre, Pierce, and Hanley, relating to the 18th Annual Girls' State.
State Affairs.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 56 by Representatives Cato, Grusendorf, Taylor, Cotton, Navarre, Pierce, and Hanley, relating to the 20th Annual Boys' State.
State Affairs.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 227, financed by the Finance Committee, an act relating to fish processors and primary fish buyers and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Finance.
Those were the messages from the House today.
Are there any communications?
We have proposed changes in regulations from the Department of Natural Resources. One of them is dealing with agricultural parcels and the subdivision of patented agricultural parcels. The other is to regulations for user fee for assignment or transfers of working or royalty interests in oil and gas leases. From the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, the definition of vehicle, not to restrict the use of non-motorized boats in units of the Alaska State's park system, and a procedure for handling applications mailed in for over-the-counter limited homestead staking authorizations. These will be posted. Those are the communications today.
Reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 171, entitled Making, Transferring, and Repealing Fiscal Year 1985 Operating Budget Appropriations within the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with the new title, and do pass, signed Senator Fakes, co-chairman, concurring Senators Eliason, Ferguson, Sackett, and Hallford. Senators Curtula and Paul Fisher signed no recommendation. SB 171 has no further referral.
Rules.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 310, establishing the Alaska National Hazard Safety Commission, recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute and do pass, assigned Senator Abood chairman, concurring Senators DeVries and Vic Fisher. SB 310 has a further referral to finance. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 423, creating a missing persons information clearinghouse, recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute State Affairs and do pass, assigned Senator Abood chairman, concurring Senators DeVries and Vic Fisher. SB 423 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Rules Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 240 has amended, overtaking and passing school buses, and House Bill 100, detention of vessels as security for oil pollution damages, clarifying a definition relating to discharge of hazardous substances, recommends that they be calendared on February 27. Signed Senator Kelly, chairman, concurring Senators Coghill, Josephson, and Fakes. These two bills are on today's calendar. That is the end of the standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports today.
The new resolutions?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 43 by the Rules Committee by request relating to Fairbanks as a nominee for the site of the 1988 Arctic Winter Games.
State Affairs?
That was the only new resolution.
New bills for introduction?
Senate Bill Number 458 by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to air carriers.
Transportation Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 459 by the Rules Committee, by request, an act making a special appropriation for the 1988 Arctic Winter Games in Fairbanks and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Those are the new bills today.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Secretary please read the first item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 278, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to impoundment and registration of motor vehicles, senior citizen motor vehicle tax exemptions, licensing of certain drivers, fees for drivers' licenses and permits, refusal to submit to a chemical test for intoxication, and the driver's license compact was adopted yesterday with a Senate letter of intent adopted. I now have an amendment number one by Senator Curtula. It has page 10, line 25, page 11, line 19, and the third page 11, line 27. If you will insert on the third paragraph the word essentially after guaranteed, the convicted person must have been guaranteed essentially the same rights, was the way it would read.
Senator Curtula.
Move adoption of the amendment.
Ask unanimous consent.
Object for the purpose of question. Through the chair to my distinguished colleague, a person may not have been convicted of a violation. In fact, a person may have a series of violations in which they never appeared in court up and down the West Coast, some of which may be relatively serious, but there may have been no court time or no convictions because they fled the jurisdiction. We might avoid any problems that would occur in that case if we just struck the word convicted and left in the word person, because that would not require a conviction with the person in that state. I might suggest that essentially be changed to substantially, which would conform with modern legal drafting requirements.
Senator Cotullo.
I would propose both those suggestions as amendments to the amendment, which should be strike convicted and in the case of essentially, substantially be inserted as the preferred legal terminology. If there is no question of the location of those, I would move that amendment to the amendment be adopted.
Without objection, Senator Hoffman?
Senator Rohde suggested the word convicted. I assume that was in the first section of the amendment. Convicted also appears in the third section of the amendment. And I wonder if, for the conduct reported, the convicted person must have been given substantially the same rights. I wonder if it should say the person should have been given substantially the same rights. Is it your suggestion that we strike convicted in both places? Yes.
Senator Cotullo?
Strike my first motion that has been accepted so that there isn't any confusion, and restate. I'm always concerned about essentially legal matters to tinker with them, but in this particular case, I feel that I must. So it would be, again, then, as the amendment to my amendment, Mr. President, strike the word convicted in both the first page 10, line 25 sentence, and on page 11, line 27. There is in that paragraph the word convicted. We strike both those words, convicted, and provide again the after guaranteed that change.
Hearing no objection. The amendment to the amendment.
The amendment
adopted
amendment.
To the amendment.
Question, Mr. President.
Senator Bernanke.
By doing this, are we saying then that people in other states who are not convicted can still have charge points put on their driver's license?
Senator Hoffman.
Existing law in Alaska and other states provides that if you do not, in fact, contest the charge, you may have points added to your driver's license and may be found. I don't know that it's actually found guilty, but you're never run through the court process, but you have given up your right to contest it by failure to appear.
Excuse me, that doesn't completely answer my question, Mr. President, in that what if you didn't just not appear, but if the charges were dropped or you were found innocent?
Obviously, for the record, that's not the intent. It would require a conviction or the same level of action that's required in this state in order to assess any points.
Hearing no objection, then the amendment to the amendment has been adopted. It brings amendment number one back before the body. Senator Couture, as amended.
Move adoption of the amendment.
Yes. Hearing no objection, amendment number one is amended. It's been adopted.
There is an amendment number two by Senator Ferguson. On page 3, line 2, delete all material and insert.
Mr. President. Senator Ferguson.
I'd move the amendment.
Yes, unanimous consent.
Mr. President, this amendment was worked out by my office, the Department of Public Safety, the Department of Transportation. The total daily traffic volume count is an indicator of the amount of activity related to vehicle uses. The less traffic, the less need for use of vehicle registration for verifying ownership at the time of accidents, tracking down a lost or stolen vehicle, or for insurance purposes. This amendment is identical to the language contained in the mandatory vehicle insurance. Adoption of this amendment would would still require that the operator of a motor vehicle be licensed, and the vehicle owner will have the option to register.
Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. President. With regard to the drafting of the amendment, it looks like at the top of page 3 we're adding the statutory citation that's already contained in page 2 and 3. We're already amending that whole section. I think the amendment would be technically correct if it didn't include that citation and simply replaced the existing 11 with the 11 you're proposing.
Mr. Helford's correct, but I didn't want to muddy the waters.
I would hope that in rolling, this can be taken care of so that we don't have to add a citation that is in the midst of the section that's already cited. That's
just unanimous consent for adoption of your amendment.
Mr. Chairman, could we clarify? I want to do exactly what Helford suggested. And do we need an amendment change?
It can be done technically, I think.
Okay. I'd move for the amendment.
Okay. Hearing no objection, amendment number 2 has been adopted.
I have no other amendments.
Stand at ease for a moment. Senator Halpern, you need to advance it. You need to advance it.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 278, Finance, amended Senate, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 278, Finance, amended, an act relating to impoundment and registration of motor vehicles, senior citizen motor vehicle tax exemptions, licensing of certain drivers, fees for driver's licenses and permits, refusal to submit to a chemical test for intoxication, and the driver's license compact.
With new title and a letter of intent passed the Senate, senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary, lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 2 nays, 1 excused.
So, committee substitute for Senate Bill 278, Finance, amended and passed the Senate with a new title, a letter of intent. Secretary, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill number 100 by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor. An act relating to detention of vessels as security for oil pollution damages, clarifying a definition relating to discharge of hazardous substances, and providing for an effective date. The Transportation Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass, signed Senator Coghill, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Josephson, Abood, and Paul Fisher. The Resources Committee considered this bill, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute. Senator Sturgalewski, Chairman, and Senators Eliason and Vic Fisher signed due pass. Senators Fahrenkamp and Hofford signed no recommendation.
Senator Sturgalewski?
Yes, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 100, Resources.
Hearing no objection, Resource Committee Substitute has been adopted.
Senate CS for House Bill number 100, Resources, by the Resources Committee. An act relating to detention of vessels as security for oil pollution damages, clarifying a definition relating to discharge of hazardous substances, and providing for an effective date. There are no amendments.
Senator Hoffman.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to the Senate Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 100 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There are no objections. The bill is now before us for third reading. Will the Secretary please read the bill?
Senate CS for House Bill number 100, Resources, an act relating to detention of vessels as security for oil pollution damages, clarifying a definition relating to discharge of hazardous substances, and providing for an effective date.
Discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
Senator Booth?
Just one question on page 1, line 21. Under circumstances indicating that the owner should reasonably have had this knowledge, the vessel may be held as security. What about the cargo? Should not the cargo be placed in there? Let's say it's a load of fish. Do I still have the floor, Mr. President?
Yes.
I guess I do. Seems like if it's a load of fish, we should be able to go in there and salvage that rather than have it sit for 30 days and have it spoil or some other cargo that would be within that vessel. I would think that the cargo would be incorporated into the vessel or something be done to take care of that cargo in the event of its spoilage or something similar to that. Just a question to the Resource Committee, Chairman.
Senator Cargill.
Mr. President, the statute that we're dealing with has to do with oil spill. And what this particular bill does is that it brings the rest of the statute into being with the amendments that were made in 1976. And to answer the senator from Spinard, it does not deal with the fish cargo. It deals with oil spill. And unless there's some... The act really puts the bonding position of a $100,000 bond. Like, for example, there was the Greek vessel Cyprus, which went aground close to Anchorage last year and spilled 300,000 gallons. The judge determined that there was a $20 million bond for the cleanup. But in the process, if the vessel had left Alaska, or if the owners wanted to leave Alaska with the vessel, they just had to post a $100,000 bond and left under the provisions of the act. And this just kind of cleans it up and makes it all fit into its proper chronological order.
Senator Rudy?
Just as a matter of admiralty law, that the title to the cargo and the ship will, in most cases, be different, and there are rights accorded to the cargo owners under procedures such as are being invoked in this law.
You ready for the question? The question being, shall Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 100 resources pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 1 excused.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the roll call and final passage of Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 100 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Without objection, effective date clause is adopted. So, Committee Substitute for House Bill 100 resources is passed the Senate with the effective date clause. Secretary, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 240, Hess, amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to overtaking and passing school buses. The Transportation Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate Committee Substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Coghill, Chairman, concurring Senators Abood, Paul Fisher, and Fakes.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 240, Transportation, be adopted.
Okay, no objection. The Transportation Committee Substitute has been adopted.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 240, Transportation, by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to overtaking and passing school buses. There are no amendments.
Senator Halper.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate Transportation Committee Substitute for House Bill 240 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place in final passage.
Hearing no objection, the bill is now before us in third reading. Will the Secretary please read the bill?
Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 240, Transportation, an act relating to overtaking and passing school buses.
Senator Varenkamp.
A point of information through the chair, Mr. President. If my car is here, and I have a constituent down, and my member of my staff drives them to the airport, and in the process passes a school bus with no knowledge to me. Am I responsible for that action as owner of that car?
Senator Cargill.
Mr. President, yes, the owner of the car, the idea behind the legislation, Mr. President, is to strengthen the regulations that are now on the books. And what it does, it gives the school bus driver the ability to be able to identify the violator by the vehicle and not by the driver. And once you've identified the vehicle, then, of course, the driver can be easily determined.
Senator Farrington?
Mr. President, it was my opinion that this legislation was wanted because even after they get the number, the courts are unable to, in some instances, prove who the driver was. If by using the license number, they still can't prove who's driving, who's going to be held responsible? It'll still be the owner of the vehicle.
You ready for the question? The question being, shall Senate committee Senator, second.
Mr. President, I can't answer that question, but I have a question of my own. Some of you can answer. AS 2835 is amended by adding a new section to read, and we go down through the entire bill. Is, number one, what is the existing law with regard to overtaking and passing school buses? Because this is not repealing and reenacting. It's adding a brand new section. And how is this different from existing law?
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, the Title 28, Senator, is the Motor Vehicle Code. Section 35, we're amending Section 30, and Section 35 has to do with flashing lights on the buses and the whole structure of school bus safety code. This is adding a new section on the violation of overtaking of school buses. Does that answer the Senator's question? Title 29 is the Motor Vehicle Code. Section 35 of the code has to do with school buses and the regulation of school buses.
Jim?
Just one other question. I noticed in the House that they passed a letter of intent regarding Supreme Court rulings with regard to court appearances as required as a violation of 2835, 145A or B. Was this taken up on our side, discussed on our side?
Okay.
No,
Senator Coghill.
The letter of intent was never taken up in the, was never transmitted with the bill, that I, to my knowledge.
Senator Sorrell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Assuming that the bill goes through the normal process and is passed and forwarded to the third floor for a signature, the effect of this bill would not take place until 90 days after the signing of the bill, which would, in a sense, put it beyond this school year. And technically, this legislation would not come into effect then until the following school year. Is that correct? I was just wondering why they didn't have an immediate effective date on it, so that if this is a problem that is needed to be addressed, that why we're not addressing it immediately as when infractions are still occurring, so problems could be taken care of, or situations like this be brought before the court system this year rather than wait until this fall. I guess it gives a free ticket there to, or it doesn't give a ticket, I guess, for the remainder of this school year. And if there are problems that are being presented that need to be addressed, that we should be doing it this year instead of waiting until next year.
Senator Farrington?
Mr. President, at the present time, if anybody passes a school bus, they're still eligible for ticketing right now. We're all concerned about careless drivers, about our kids getting on and off of school buses, about people being injured. But there's things about this that really bother me. In our previous action, we've said that if we're in any of 26 or 20, however many states, and whether convicted or not, receive a citation or a charge, that's added to our driver's license. In this bill, whether we're driving the car or not, if it's our vehicle, we'll have that added to our driver's license. And also, if I understand it, there's up to 90 days in jail, these kinds of offenses through the change in the charge. I'm just wondering how many more jails we're going to have to build and how many of us will be eligible for driving.
Ready for the question? The question being, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 240 Transportation pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? The Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
Roll shows 17 yeas, 2 nays, 1 excused.
And so Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 240 Transportation has passed the Senate. That brings us to the end of today's calendar. Is there any unfinished business? Senator Rohde?
Perhaps someone could tell us who put the tins of salmon on our desk. They did?
Senator Cotullo?
About a week ago, I noted the Wall Street Journal article on the possibility of faulty equipment in the Alyeska pumping station of Valdez. We had a get-together with the involved commissioners, as a matter of fact, among those attending was the resources chairperson and Senate President. In any event, it's my opinion that the state of Alaska, all departments involved, are proceeding in a logical and responsible way toward straightening out, if there is a problem there, that problem.
Senator Lask.
Mr. President, under unfinished business, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate April 7th. State business.
Announcement of committee meeting.
President.
Senator.
Yes, under unfinished business, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the DNR, Department of Natural Resources regulations that were read over, there were three of them, be referred to Senate Resources.
No objection. Senator Bakes.
And I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 380, dealing with payments in lieu of assessments, have a further referral to finance.
No objection. Announcement of committee meetings. Senator Brancamp.
Thursday, 1:30 in the Bells Room, we'll have a statewide teleconference on Senate Bill 329, creating the Special Education Service Area, and committee substitute for House Bill 98, relating to medical assistance. It's HESS, 1:30 tomorrow.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will hold a work session on Monday to review the sunset legislation that is before us to determine what direction we want to go. We're working under a very tight time constraint there in getting that legislation or getting something to the President's desk here, so we need to determine what direction. It will be just basically a work session. We are not holding any hearings on any of the sunset legislation, but to determine what direction we need to go.
The Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is an Anchorage caucus at noon today in the House Finance Room. Dr. Herbert Lyon, Chancellor of Anchorage Community College, will address the caucus concerning the ACC program activities and budget issues.
Senator DeVries.
Thank you, Mr. President. Community and Regional Affairs will be meeting this afternoon at 3:30 in the Belts Room. We'll be hearing Committee Substitute for House Bill 380, an act relating to the public utility water and sewer service extensions. We'll also be continuing our hearing on Senate Bill 356, an act relating to election campaign financing. And then again in the morning at 9 o'clock, we will set up a teleconference with the commissioners of the Alaska Public Office Commission and have a further work session on Senate Bill 356, which is an act relating to election campaign financing. Thank you.
Senator Kelly.
President, the Rules Committee will meet twice today, once directly after session to schedule bills, and then again at 1 o'clock to hear House Bill 155 dealing with mobile homes.
Mr. President, the Senate Judiciary Committee will meet today at 1:30 in the Butchovich Room. We will be discussing the procurement bill. In addition, Mr. President, Senator Zaroff and I are doing a checklist issues for inclusion in a tort reform bill. Those members of the body that have thoughts on this might contact either Senator Zaroff or myself.
Brings us to special orders. Senator Fisher?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to be given the privilege of the floor to comment on the item that was distributed today.
Okay, no objection. You have the floor.
Mr. President, Senator Eliason sent copies to all of us, I assume, of a memorandum that he wrote to Representative Pettyjohn on the 26th regarding action of your, this address to Pettyjohn, staff person Bill Moffitt on Senate Bill 140, Rights of the Terminally Ill. Mr. President, I just want to commend this memorandum to all members because I think that the staff person, someone employed by the legislature, did is totally improper and unconscionable. In a, I guess, private capacity as chairman of something or other with an organization called Right to Life, he sent a letter to a statewide mailing list calling on people to lobby the legislators against this particular Senate Bill 140. Ms. President, the letter, as is pointed out by Senator Eliason, was full of untruths, misstatements, misinterpretations, and they were obviously willfully done. I just want to point out that we are getting a lot of responses to his letter. We're getting a lot of totally misinformed responses. For instance, I've had message after message stating that we should kill that bill because that bill will force physicians to perform abortions on unconscious women, pregnant women. That is pure nonsense. There is nothing in a bill that would do it. Ms. President, that bill was introduced by Senator Eliason at the request of senior citizens. This is a bill that has, kind that has been adopted in many states. That bill has been actively endorsed by the Older Alaskans Commission, by the Older Persons Action Group. Last Saturday, I went on a tour of the Anchorage Pioneer Home. A number of residents asked me to move along with that bill. They think it's a critical priority. And I just hope that the members will take a look at Senator Eliason's comments and will not be misled by the barrage of totally misled messages that we've been receiving.
Senator Alford.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow.